Welcome to Cat Chat, the pet talk podcast devoted to the physical and emotional well-being of cats and their people. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. This show is brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, where they speak for cats, which is what this program is all about. My co-host is the feline expert, Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. The show is made possible with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, a company privately owned by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose mission has been to personally formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie also created his own cat food called Clean Protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs because they're based on the protein a cat eats naturally. Clean Protein is the first dry cat food I personally can recommend because it is based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Please show your appreciation that Dr. Elsie's underwrites this show by choosing their products whenever you can. It is so great to be back with Michael Maria Delgado, and now we have a mission. The mission is to get a copy of her divine new book, Play With Your Cat, The Essential Guide to Interactive Play for a Happier, Healthier Feline. We're going to go through it chapter by chapter. So those of you that have already gotten the book, you know how cool it is. It's great looking. It's got wonderful ideas, wonderful drawings, just delightful cartoon-ish animated drawings, wonderful organization, but also the topics about play, why, the where, the how, the when. It's all broken down so beautifully. Michael, we're up to chapter two. Because last time was chapter one, just why play? Why this book? Why it's important? Cats play because they hunt. That's the title of the chapter. And I think one of the things that people might think about play is, well, it's just frivolous. Play, you know, my cat's not such a playful cat. Or my cat's 8 years old and so is too old to play. But play equals hunting. Play equals hardwiring in their brains, something they need, like they need food and fresh air. So yes. Can you talk about why cats play?
Sure. Yeah, I think that this is something that because many of us bring our cats indoors and we live with them indoors and we don't see them hunting, that we kind of forget that hunting is a primary behavior for them. It's yes. really what they've evolved to do. Even through domestication, we've never asked them to stop hunting. We haven't changed that behavior. And I think the other thing is that when we think of play, we often think of it as a social activity, right? You play a board game with someone, or you play soccer with a bunch of people, or you, even with dogs, I think there's maybe much more of a social
right.
element to play. And with cats, it's not as much a social element because, again, what we see that motivates play behavior it overlaps significantly with the things that motivate hunting behavior, things like hunger, things like the size of the prey or the size of the toy. So when the toy resembles prey and your cat is hungry, they're more likely to play, just like they're more likely to hunt when they're hungry and there's a little mouse around. So
a real mouse.
Yes. And so from this, we can kind of see that these two behaviors share the same mechanism. The same thing in their body is telling them to engage in these behaviors. The thing is that we have, you know, to understand how to play with our cats, we have to understand the things that make them interested in hunting, right? So right. things like sound and smells or visual elements. And we're not cats. So sometimes it is hard for us to understand like what our cats can hear, what our cats can see, what our cats can smell, what our cats can feel. And these are all things that directly affect their hunting behavior. So in this chapter, I really wanted to go over, first of all, like what we know about hunting behavior, how it develops in cats, you know, some of the myths that people have heard, you know, for example, do they have to be shown how to hunt by their mom? And we know that's not true. We know that learning how to hunt from your mom makes you a better hunter. It helps you be a better hunter, but it's not necessary. So a cat who's separated from their mother at a young age will still learn how to hunt and they still will want to play. So kind of dispelling some of the things that I think people may have heard about cats in the past that are just not true.
So in other words, a kitten who came from an abandoned litter and maybe was bottle raised, or for whatever other reason didn't hang out with the mother in the outdoors looking for bugs, lizards, mice, or what have you to eat. We sort of, you're right about it being a myth. I hadn't thought of that. But I think it's a confusion because there's a lot of animals, African type animals, you know, various primates that are separated from their mothers. And they don't know how to do the things that a primate should do. So when they have them in a sanctuary or if they've bottle fed them, somebody, I don't know how they do it. They're, it's, of course, a completely other species. But they have to teach them how to do the things that they would learn from watching a mother. Whereas with a cat, as I understand it, it is actually brain hardwiring. It's in there. Just like, you know, you could be born with musical ability. All cats are born with the drive to hunt and the ability to do it if they can, as you said, see, feel, smell, hear the thing that their brain impels them, compels them to grab and bite.
Eat. And just be interested, right? And so it is I think it does affect how we play with them, because if we know, for example, that cat's eyes are designed to track movement along a horizontal plane.
That's interesting.
Then we know that moving a toy along the floor might be more effective than bobbing it up and down, right? So, or if we know that cats are naturally attracted to rustling sounds, because that's an indicator that there might be a bird or a mouse kind of hanging out in some leaves, right? These are like natural scenarios that allow cats to be successful hunters. Cats are naturally attracted to crevices because that's where mice and birds tend to hang out, right? So whether it's a hole in a tree or a hole in a wall, you know, you'll see cats kind of hanging out at spaces that tend to predict prey.
The way we see in the cartoons when Tom and Jerry and they're waiting by that little doorway cut in the baseboard.
So these are things that we can take advantage of when we're playing with them. And so I do spend a bit of time in the chapter going over cat sensory experience, like what they can detect visually, right? Like they don't care if the toy is red because they don't see red.
Right.
They might like the toy if it's yellow because they do see yellow, right? Their vision is primarily in the yellow, blue, green spectrum. So keeping that in mind, we can also maybe discern when, okay, this toy may be cute to me, but my cat may not care that it looks like a piece of pizza or whatever, right? So, you know, we tend to buy toys that we think are cute without necessarily thinking like, oh, does this look like a mouse or a bird? Does this sound like a bird? Does this feel like a bird? Does it have like wings or, you know, feathers that feel like a bird? Or does it have fur-like texture? So when we really think about how cats experience the world as hunters, then we can think about how to provide play for them that taps into that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have cute toys that look like avocados or whatever. Like I like those toys too. And we know that cats, you know, need a variety. So variety is good, but you know, a lot of times, especially if you know, if your cat has a strong preference for a particular type of prey, we know from some studies of outdoor cats that some cats are generalists, meaning that they'll hunt anything that moves. And other cats seem to have a really strong preference for like lizards or bunnies, sadly, or birds, you know. So some cats are really specialists and they'll have a much stronger preference. Those are the cats that maybe really love feather wands and are less likely to play with the more snake-like toys. But there's certainly plenty of cats out there that if it moves, they'll probably play with it.
But you made a really great point. How it moves and where it moves. I had not known this about them, their eyes scanning, if you will, left to right or right to left, but not up and down, horizontal. So if it's going on a horizontal plane, whether it's on the floor or up in the air, not up and down, not vertical, because that isn't the way their eyes work and probably not how their prey moves in nature.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to say that cats are not able to see other types of movements. It's just that they have neurons that fire to specific changes in their visual field that would be like more sensitive to certain movements than others.
But of course we've seen some amazing footage. Ellen Suzuki had one of her Ossicat or Bengal that would have the bird-like fishing pole toy because they were interchangeable at the end. And the cat would leap, I don't know, 10 feet amazing. In the air. So cool. But those are individual athletes. Those are the freaks of nature, if you will. You know, they're jet propelled. I mean, the cat can actually fly is what it looks like. But as you said, you have to know your own cat. And if you have a cat that athletic and you've seen them jump at a real fly or a real spider on the wall, then you know that that is something that's really going to attract them.
Yes, absolutely.
From the way their eyes track, because they're an individual. What about the interchangeable toys on a wand toy? I mean, I don't know if she's still making those that used to be called Necco Flies or... Mm-hmm. Or if there's another company that makes interchangeable toys, because as you mentioned, variety matters. So it'd be like giving the cat different prey out in the wild.
Yes. And I definitely talk about this a lot in the next chapter of the book, as far as like different types of lures.
Right.
And Necco Flies is now Rompy Cats. Right. She started a new company. And yeah, there's lots of great toys out there. And I definitely spend a lot of time on picking out toys in the book. But I think that, the main thing is like really thinking from a prey perspective, like, does this toy resemble some type of prey that would be natural to your cats, like in size or movement or color or texture, whatever, that can help guide you and get you started with the play. Again, kind of circling back to this idea of your cat as a hunter.
Yes.
And I think, you know, a lot of people don't, especially if their cats are indoors, we don't like thinking about that part. If you have had a cat who goes outdoors and they have killed prey, we're not usually like proud of our cat for killing birds and mice. Or maybe you are, if you have like a rodent problem, you appreciate. but you know, there's also a lot of controversy about cats as predators, right? And, and so it's a fine line. Like I always want people to remember that cats are predators, from their behavior towards toys, but we don't necessarily want our cats creating more destruction outside. You know, birds already have enough challenges from humans and other animals, so we don't necessarily need to add to that situation. But, you know, for example, you know, and one of the things I talk about in the book too is like cats who bring prey home, right? Is that them trying to feed you or something? And and that's not really what we think is going on when cats bring prey back home. Cats do tend to carry their prey to a safer location to eat it. And some of you may notice that your cats carry the toys around. So if you're playing with like a bird, they'll catch the feather and then they want to carry it somewhere else. My own cats do that. And they like to take it to their bed actually, which is really cute. So, you know, sometimes like we kind of tell a story in our heads about why our cats do certain things that if you think about their hunting behavior, oh, okay, this makes sense. They're not trying to feed me.
Right. Or trying to get your approval, because people will say, oh, right, my cat brought me this because they want me to be proud of him, or they brought me a gift that people refer to as a gift. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the cat. And as you said, this primal, hardwired desire, need, behavior of hunting. And of course, you go to a safe place because there's others out there that would want to take the thing you worked so hard to get.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, I appreciate that people want to tell these cute stories. Maybe it makes them feel better about their cat or like, you know, but they're very anthropomorphic. And so we do have to be careful about interpreting behavior because that can lead to misunderstandings. And, you know, if your cat stops hunting and bringing mice back to you, I don't want you to feel disappointed that your cat no longer brings you presents because they were never bringing you presents in the first place. So
you're probably just feeding them better and not letting them outside because we keep exhorting you not to do that. The book is so wonderful, Michael. And I love that we're able to go through it in small little bites, chapter by chapter, because the chapters are like that too. They can each be read separately or one after the other. Play with Your Cat, The Essential Guide to Interactive Play for a Happier, Healthier Feline. You can find the book, of course, wherever books are sold, which is mostly on the internet. But if you have a bookstore near you, be sure to ask for it because we want to keep our independent bookstores well and alive. And there, people will love to see this book physically on the shelf. It's a beautiful book. Play with Your Cat by Dr. Michael Maria Delgado. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks so much for listening. I also want to thank Wonderside, founded by a woman entrepreneur who discovered effective natural ways to repel fleas, ticks, and other pests on her pets and around her home instead of putting toxic chemicals in or on them. Wonderside makes plant-powered products to keep parasites at bay without the harsh chemicals that can be harmful to your cats, your property, and the planet. This show is also supported by the privately developed Magic Fabric Pet Throws that trap hair, dirt, and moisture when cats get up on the furniture, bed, or your lap. Magic Fabric Pet Throws invite kitty cuddle time without sacrificing your clothes or furniture. A final pause up to Dr. Elsie's again for all the fine products they make and their unwavering support of my mission to make life better for each and every kitty cat and their people.